Welcome to Show On Your Go. It's your boy Roscoe Squeeze Off with
your boy Rich Blackman.
It's been a long time, but we're trying to get back at this podcast thing. What's been up with you?
Man, let me tell you, man, it's been crazy. You know, it's been a long time since we've been on here, you know, just politicking. You know, life has just been life. And so, you know, we've been kind of doing that thing, you know, work, raising families and all of that good stuff. But man, listen, I can't complain what happened the other way, you know what I'm saying?
No, hey, same here. Life is life. But now we back at it. We just going to touch a couple topics today just to get our feet wet, you know, going back at it. But hopefully we'll be hitting you, you know, very, very often. So start it off, man. What's the first topic you want to throw out there today?
Your boy Trump. Yo, all I know is, listen, man, it got to a point for me where I started to see every day in the news, new indictment. And I'm thinking like, you know, not going to happen to this dude, Teflon Don, you know what I mean? The dude walking around like, yo, he's not even taking mug shots. You know, my man is coming in late when he wants you to turn himself in. You know, he eating pizza and shit at the damn station. You know what I mean? So I'm like, yo, this, you know, it's not nothing. It's just regular Trump propaganda, you know, ain't nothing gonna happen to your boy. And then all of a sudden, bow, the mugshot. I said, oh shit, it's getting real. So then after that, I see the lineup, all the convictions coming down the line. I said, god damn, it's 30 of them. I said, this is about to get crazy. This is so now I'm starting to pay attention. And then what did I hear the other day? They trying to hit him with the RICO law. One of the biggest joints out there, like, you not coming home no time soon. We got you. We got enough evidence. We gonna do the damn thing. And then the irony of the fact that your boy Giuliani, which I hate to say it, at one point before the whole Trump presidency, I was kind of a Giuliani fan a little bit for some things, because I did like the way that, you know, some of the things that he did do in New York City to keep crime down. But I will say this, not everything. I want you to know that, not everything, because there was a lot of bullshit with that too. But for the most part, you know, he wasn't too bad. But they hit this dude with the RICO law, and I'm sitting back like, wait a minute, didn't he have something important to do with the RICO law? So, you know, it's like, you know, establishing that or using it for the first time or something like that. And I just thought that, yo, it's ironic. Look how life's a bitch and how I do a 360 on you. Where you threw that RICO law out and here it is. Bam. I'm back to bite you in the ass.
That's real. I got one issue with them charging these guys. Is I hope, and I believe it is, but I hope this is not a political ploy only. And the only reason I say that is if you're charging these guys for contempt of Congress in December of 2021, and then also the different charges from the January the 6th thing, you know, why now? You know what I'm saying? Like, why now? You know what I'm saying? That was back in 2021, and you're charging them now as he's running for office again. And it looks so political. Like,
oh, to become president again? Why you say that?
It's like, you couldn't charge him in 2022. You couldn't charge him in 2021. You wait till right when he's announcing and he's about to get on the campaign trail. Let's start charging with all this stuff. And it looks political. And I just hope, if it's a real chance of sticking, it's going to look political, because no matter who, if anybody on a jury is going to think that's going to definitely be the angle. They're going to be like, this was a political ploy. just from waiting for so long. Meaning that, all right, if me and you just hooked up tonight and went and robbed the store, I know it's a whole different type of crime. They not gonna wait till we to try to 2.5 years from now until we try to run for something to bring to try to charge us. What are they?
But nah. But look, that's if you want to get us on some petty crime shit. Now, if you know that we out there and we chain robbing, and we are really going at it and we doing this, you're going to want to build the case. You're going to want enough evidence. You're going to want enough BS to pull us up on to say, yo, we got him. And I think that's what's happened here. I think that's exactly what happened. I think that it just so happens to be everything is falling in place at the same time. But I think that honestly, after that whole January 6th thing, right, I think they had a hard on for him.
But that was in 2021. It is 2023 right now. Case building?
Listen, let me tell you something. All right. That's where it's definitely going. They are building a case. And I'm one for a first. I love the first of whatever. You know what I mean? I love that. And the fact that this is going to be the first president to go to jail. Nigga, this is wild to me.
Now, I know we have no idea. We don't know all the evidence of the case. Just wide zoom lens. We zoomed way out. You think he got a chance to go to jail?
I think they're going to do it to him this time. Even if your boy do 6 months, all suspended but 30 days, I think they're going to get him this time.
This is going to sound like a real stupid reason on my part, but for the rest of your life, when you're a former president, you get Secret Service. You can't have Secret Service in the cell with you. You can't have them roaming around inside of jail. I'm just thinking, hey, whatever they do, they might confine. The worst they could do to him is home is house arrest. I just can't see them putting a former president in jail. Maybe I'm wrong. I just can't see it though. I just think that sets a bad precedent to the rest of the world. But maybe it doesn't. Maybe it says, hey, we our law extends to everybody.
I feel like that's them saying we the United States of America and we don't give a fuck. That's what I think it said. You do the crime, we gonna throw your ass in jail. That's what we do. And I think they're gonna have his ass in jail. I think that I wanna see it too, man. I'm gonna be bugging out. Probably gonna be on private. I think you want, but even when you go to jail, you're gonna be in there living like the fucking Gambino family, man. Have his own sex in jail. All that.
Where is Secret Service gonna be at?
Right there with him. Outside the cell.
In the jail?
Hey.
No. Very possible. Very possible. All right, so.
It's going to be a bullshit detail, but it's going to be a detail.
Right. Well, I mean, that's something we're going to be playing by air for a while, because I don't think this is going nowhere no time soon. We're going to be playing this out for at least a good 5 to 6 months, if not more than that, as this goes on. I don't think this is going to be something that's done in the next month or two.
I'm going to tell you, Roscoe, I'm going to make one of my world famous predictions, right? World famous. Now, you know, I'm the first. I love being the first. You know, I was the first to break the R. Kelly shit. You know that. I threw that out there. I said, you know what? Next year, R. Kelly's going to jail. And what happened? R. Kelly got 150 years. You know, I just believe that I can. Trump, Giuliani are going to get time. I believe that Trump's going to get This is federal. So I'm going to say 2 years all suspended, but 6 months. He won't come home in 30 days on an ankle bracelet. That's what I think. Your boy Giuliani, I feel like he don't get that nigga 10 years. And I feel like he going to do that to the door. My prediction.
All right. Well, since we're doing predictions, I'll do mine. I believe that, the good old boy network is real. I believe R. Kelly was at the end of the day, just a hood dude that was a pedophile. I believe when the good old boy network is nothing about nobody from the good old boy network is going to spend a day behind bars. They may get a house arrest for a small amount of time. I don't even see that much, but I'll go that. If they do get any kind of confinement, it will be house arrest. I believe neither one spends a full 24-hour session behind bars of a penitentiary, jail, or any of that sort. Could be wrong, but we'll see it out. That's my prediction. The good old boy network still staying strong.
Joe says still staying strong. You might be right, though, player. You're not going to be right. Hey, man, I don't know if you saw this.
R. Kelly was not part of the good old boy network.
he might be part of the backyard boogie gang now.
he part of the in-house network now.
Yeah, man. Hey, look, I don't know if you had a chance to see this, man. Actually, I just got this in, actually, from my wife. She sent me this. I hadn't had a chance to really research this, but I did hear something about it the other day. But a new Texas law is coming into play, and it requires drunk drivers to pay child support if they kill a parent or guardian. What's your thoughts on that, Roscoe?
Wow. Dang, I haven't heard that one yet. I mean, I can see where it makes a little bit of sense. I don't know how you enforce that. I mean, I guess you could enforce it, and you could be a civil suit. What if that person has no money? I always wonder how that works. When someone gets a civil suit of some sort, if that person doesn't have any money, you just take whatever they get. What if that person just a bum? I always wonder, how does that work? I just don't know if that's possible. But if that's possible, I love it. Especially if that person has some money and some means. They should. Because when you take somebody's life away, a matter of fact, let me see. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. A new law in Texas went into effect on September 1st, 2023 that requires convicted drunk drivers to pay child support if they kill a child's parent or guardian. The law is known as the Bentley's Law. Is named after Bentley Heyman, a four-year-old who was killed in a drunk driving crash in Missouri in 2021. Wow. The law applies to drivers who are convicted of intoxication manslaughter, which is a felony in Texas. And to be eligible for child support, the victim must have been a parent, guardian, or a child under the age of 18. Wow, and the amount of child support will be determined by the judge, taking into account the needs of the child and financial resources of the convicted driver. Okay, so it does make a difference about the resources of the person driving. So if you're rich, you might pay through the nose. If you ain't got much, they're just gonna make you, they're gonna hurt you though. Wow. Honestly,
either way,
I don't mind at all. Stop drinking and driving. Stop killing people, man. Just the days of having to wait 30 minutes for a cab, 45 minutes for a cab to show up, are over. You can Uber pretty much no matter where you are in this country now, Uber, Lyft, whatever. They say drunk driving has went down since Uber and Lyft have been in full effect. Let's stop. Let's stop the nonsense. Let's stop drinking and driving and killing people, man. I got a cousin I lost. One of my, you always say it's your favorite when they pass away, people always say, but it's true. One of my favorite cousins, she was 3 years older than me. She passed away when she was young. So from drunk driving, I don't like it. I have no problem with this. What you think?
Man, I'm going to tell you, honestly, I will say let me give you a little bit, we know, but get the audience a little bit of background. As a former Uber driver in my past life, it's been my experience that a lot of drunk drivers did use Uber and Lyft. down. And I did like seeing that. The downside is you got to deal with ignorant, belligerent drunks. But at least you were keeping them off the road. And I felt as an Uber driver, in a weird way, that I was saving lives and getting paid for it. So I think that as far as this is concerned, I do believe that if you make the choice to drink, and if you make the choice to drive, then you have made the choice to suffer any consequences that come along with that.
100% agree.
Yeah, I really do feel that way.
Any deterrent, whatever deterrent it takes, because at the end of the day, yeah, you're paying child support, but that's not bringing that person's life back to that child or whatever. So, you know, any deterrent so their families can stay intact, people cannot die, you know, I have no problem with it. I have no problem with it at all.
And you know, and I'm going to tell you from semi-personal experience, but not exactly. You know, I had a friend who parents were killed by a drunk driver. And, you know, he went off to go live with his aunt and his uncle. They finished raising him. He lost his parents. His parents were gone forever. You know, this drunk driver got 3 years in prison, came out, and went on about their life, you know. Right. So just knowing how the way things work, how this child's life was forever changed, you know. Luckily, he turned out decent. But say if he wouldn't have turned out decent, and it may ever. But gets to still go on and live their life. I don't think that's fair. I'm not saying that every day you had to relive your mistakes and should never be forgiven for your mistakes. But I do believe that if you make a mistake that changes someone's life and to that capacity, I do think that it's not fair that you get to kind of forget about what happened and go on about your life. So I think this way of paying child support to the victims is a constant reminder of, you know, yo, this affects people's lives, you know. So and, I mean, that's just,
I go one step further. I believe certain things just aren't mistakes, man. You know, granted, that's a mistake, but that's a preventable mistake. If you are drinking, if you are above the legal limits in your particular state, you don't get behind a wheel. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. And if it's a thing where you can't help but to have to get behind the wheel, don't drink. Those are the two options. If you're going to drink, don't get behind the wheel. And if you're going to get behind the wheel, don't be drunk. That's it. It's not even a mistake anymore. That's why I don't know if you remember, back in the day, drinking and driving used to be a misdemeanor charge. I like the fact that it's a felony everywhere now. And it should be. And I drank and drive when I was young for a while. I mean, I never killed anybody or anything like that. But at the same time, I should have never did it either. Because you always think you can handle it. You just don't know. You never know. And I never, you know what I'm saying? Like, you should never do it. It should just never happen.
Yeah, man. And you got to figure, like this. I've seen instances where people have gotten DWIs and have gotten it to a point to where they've gotten breathalyzers put into their vehicles. And, right, and they would go buy another car and have it registered in somebody else's name just so they don't have to have the breathalyzer in that car, just to go out and do what? Drink and drive.
Right. So the punishment
at that point, exactly.
It gotta exactly. I'm a firm believer in, matter of fact, while we're talking about this, we can kind of segue into another thing I saw. In New York, they were doing some surveillance using drones for Labor Day weekend, for parties and people backyard parties, things of that nature. They were going to try to monitor some of that stuff, you know, with these drone cameras. And I just believe that I have no problem with that at all. I know some people don't like the Big Brother and the security in the sky, but I like, even for like drunk driving, use the tools you have, punish people to hopefully be a deterrent. And prevention is worth a pound of cure. They say 1 ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I have no problem with the speed cameras, the red light cameras, using drones, the little, they used to put like cameras on like light poles in crime areas. Now, I don't like the ones that have, like they used to have blue lights, I think in Baltimore, the little blue light cameras that were like in the rougher areas. I don't like that because that lowers the value of the homeowners in that area because that shows that it's a problem in that area. I don't like that. But I like the fact of cameras and drones and everything everywhere. Let's try to prevent crime, man. Obviously, we're expecting people to police themselves and that's just not working. The crime throughout this country, it's not working. So we got to try other things. I have no problem with the drone. And people might say, well, that's like the big brother effect. So what? So what? If it keeps people be honest and do better things, you know, if you got to put a camera, it's the same reason you got cameras in stores to catch people stealing and things of that nature. You could operate an honor system and be like, hey, I don't want to shop in a store where they're watching me. Well, then no come in this store.
Listen, man, you already know, you've known me for a long time, and you know how I feel about surveillance. You're talking to the guy that got probably 37 cameras in his house, 58 cameras in his business. You know, and I'm talking about audio and video. You know what I'm saying? I believe it's necessary. You know, I believe that we live in a world where it should be. You know, the technology is there and we're dealing a lot more with crime. We're dealing a lot more with just day to day events that are happening to where we need to utilize this technology that we have. You know, so I'm all for it, man. I hate it. My thing is this, you know, at the end of the day, I would think that I would be more comfortable knowing that somebody's always watching. So I'll be cautious of the things that I do and the things that I say versus being mad when I found out somebody's watching and saying, damn, I wasn't cautious of the things that I said or I did. You know what I'm saying? So I would rather know.
You just made me just think of something. And because of you, I've invested in some of the cameras and stuff. I'm not all through my house and stuff like that like you, but I do have them outside. I even got a few spotlight cameras and all that stuff now. So I feel you coming from it is, I don't know if it makes me feel any safer, but at least I know I can go back and check stuff if I have to. But I often wonder, what if that was everywhere? Would that change everything? If everybody just, almost like the way everybody's supposed to have gas and electric. If everybody just had cameras on their particular location, houses, apartments, whatever, would that lessen crime? Or would people just get to the point where they say, heck with it, and still do it?
You're going to have people still do it because they're too stupid to realize that it's happening in real time. People still want to do things. For me, one of the biggest factors with putting cameras inside of my house was because, not so much that, you know, and it's gotten to a point to where when I first put cameras inside of the house, you know, it was real weird to everybody. The kids was like, oh, this is weird. Why are we doing this? Like, what kind of creep shit is this? You know, of course, they weren't cussing. Well, not in our face anyway. They were saying it in their rooms. But, you know, what kind of creep shit is this? Why are you watching? Why are you watching? Excuse me. But they started to get used to the fact that they were there. So where in the beginning, they would start to be cautious of the things that they would do and the things they said, to the point to where they got comfortable and then would just forget that they're there and just do what they're going to do. And then the next thing you know, we catch them in the middle of the bullshit and then they're lying. And then we're like, our favorite phrase in the house for a long time was rewind the camera back. That's how you caught everybody and everything. That for a very long time was the phrase that was used in my house. But for me, it wasn't just for the kids to see what they were doing, to try to figure out what was going on. It was also for if someone came into our house, an intruder came into our house. I need, if I have to lay somebody down in my house to protect my family, A, I'm a black man. B, in a white neighborhood. Even though I'm in my house, I needed to be documented what happened inside of this house. And that's how I looked at it. So it was not only security for my family and myself, it was also evidence, you know? So that's right, one of the reasons why I was real heavy on that.
Right. And that I could see that aspect of it. If you lay somebody down, you got proof of why you did it. No doubt. I fully understand you on that one.
Yes. So I think surveillance should be everywhere, Roscoe. I really do think it is. You just be aware of the things that you do and you say, or take that out.
See, even further, I know people don't like the drone thing in New York. I don't mind it. But I love I'm one of those people that think it should be camera lights everywhere, as far as like on speed, maybe not as much speed cameras, but I like that too. But definitely red light cameras. I think anytime somebody runs a red light, it should flash and you should have to pay a fine, because we have the technology to pretty much eradicate that from society. If you run a red light, you should pay. I get, man, if you look, I think it's on like Instagram or something. I follow this crash camera site on Instagram, and the amount of crashes they show across the nation, people just sending their dash cam stuff, on Instagram site, and the amount of people that run red lights and get hit daily is ridiculous. Just ridiculous. All around the nation. Just ridiculous. At least make people pay. I know, and the problem is so many people get away with it without even getting an accident. I understand that. But just a matter of time until you do have an accident. So they should be getting flashed. You should have to pay $100 or $200 or whatever the hell. I think announced it's $40. What the hell is $40? It should be something that makes you like, let me stop doing that. I can't keep paying $100 or $200 every time I do this. You know what I mean? It should be something that makes you, and it should be everywhere. And hopefully, because the goal, I would like to think the goal would be to stop people from running red lights. And if you have the technology, let's stop it. Even the speed cameras. And I know I'm a faster driver from time to time myself on a highway, not in the city or streets. But if you want to eliminate that, speeding on the streets, on streets, put the speed cameras in. People will slow the hell down. There nobody. People don't want to pay these fines. So it should be a deterrent. Like Dubai, nobody drinks in public because it's like a 10-year jail sentence if they catch you drinking in public. So people don't drink in public because the fine deters you from doing that.
Now see, I have mixed feelings on this. I do. I agree with you on every aspect of that. The part that I disagree with the whole thing as a whole is the fact that I do believe that they are biased to neighborhoods and race. And the reason why I say that, if you're going to have these cameras up, put them in all neighborhoods. And the reason why I say that is, you know, I've worked in the city. I own businesses in the city. I go in the city and I have that issue. I have to make sure I'm on my P's and Q's and stop at the red lights, because I don't want to get, they're actually $75. I don't want to get a $75 ticket. But when I come out to my house where I live in a predominantly white neighborhood area, well, actually county, we don't have that. And it's crazy because the road that I use to come home, part of that road, that same road, it's like it's not an interstate, but you know, it's like whatever. Yeah, part of that road, right, is on the county city line, right?
Right.
So as I'm leaving the city, there is a camera, a red light camera right there on the line as I'm crossing over into the county that I live in. And from that point on, I see none. There are none.
Right.
There are none. And I think that, I mean, I just feel like, again, you know, in black neighborhoods, they have these things up everywhere, and it's almost like a trap. Yeah, I get it. City drivers, we can argue about that. Some are worse than others. We already know that there's a lot of lawlessness going on out there and everything like that. But it's not to say that some of that same stuff doesn't happen in the county that I live in. But again, right. still, you know, we don't have these cameras in the county that I live in because it's predominantly white. And these people, if you were to put one of those cameras out here, these people will be at, oh my God, will be at the meetings, will be at the, I mean, will raise so much hell, they'll get them out of here. And that's the thing. I actually believe about 5 years, they were so against it and raised so much hell that that whole shit just went away. Never heard nothing else about it. Dang. So that's my feelings on it. I listen, I'm not against it. I'm just against where they put them.
Fairness. Now, I wish that would be almost like a state thing. And what the state would come in and say, all right, we're putting them everywhere, or you don't get the transportation funding for your area. Put them everywhere. Put them. I think it should be a safety thing where they're literally everywhere. Like everywhere, every light. Just for safety purposes, man. I mean, it's safer for everybody. Nobody ran lights. It's $75 this morning. I thought it was, obviously, you can see I've never had one. But $75, it's not too bad. I still like more. I wanted to like really, I want you to really raise your eyebrows when you see $150. Like, wow, that makes people stop. Make people stop doing it. Let's eliminate. That's, to me, that's something that can be eliminated with this technology. I know people feel like it's Big Brother, but let's eliminate this stuff. And I think if you do it in 10 years time, if not less than that, it just becomes normal. It becomes completely normal. Just like a lot of things that we've integrated over time that just have become normal to society.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right. Let's keep it moving.
So it's everywhere. Put it everywhere.
I think I lost you there for a second. You still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. I missed you for a second. All right, so what's the next quick tap we get into? I toss another one out there real quick. I saw, just real quick, I don't know when this gender reveal thing became so popular. Like, I remember, you know, my kids are pretty much old. I mean, I do have a young one to 15, but my oldest is 20, about 28. And we just, you know, you just, hey, having a boy, having a girl. And it wasn't like some big thing like that needed to be like the Oscar Awards and the winner is. And I just saw where, I think, matter of fact, I see it was in Mexico. Just this Saturday, yesterday, they had a plane come through the fly and like throw pink or blue smoke. And then as the plane flew over, the plane somehow crashed right where they were at. And the driver of the plane, the pilot of the plane ended up dying. But when did gender reveals get so intense? I see all type of things people are doing now with gender reveals. I don't know. Did you ever do these things when you had your gender reveals?
Absolutely not. Whenever I had a kid, man, and I had plenty. I got about 7 in total, man. When we found out what gender it was, we just hit the phones. You know what I'm saying? And honestly, we didn't even call everybody. We called the one nosy aunt and told her, and then she did the work.
Right. Listen, I don't know when it got. I understand in today's society, you know, you can be whatever you want, what you identify as, and your pronouns and all that. And that, to me, that's when you get of age. And I guess of age is like 8 years old now, but that's one thing. But as far as a baby go, you usually come out as one of two things, pink or blue. It's not that damn serious. Everybody's having a child, so pink or blue, one of the two, boy or girl, at the beginning. So why do we need to do so much for that? Why does it have to be a big gender reveal party and gathering and people renting out halls and renting planes and what the hell? It's throughout society, people have had either pink or blue. It was never this serious. I don't know what's going on with this gender reveal nonsense. Why is it such a big investment in time, money, and resources? Like, yo, you have a boy or girl. Okay, cool.
cool.
You know, I think that over time, we've gotten to a place in society to where it's go big or go home, you know? And I truly believe that the internet is responsible for that. Social media is responsible for that. Because you have to do it bigger and better than the last person. So I think that that's where all of this outrageous, extravagant, I got to do better than this, or I got to do that to the next level stuff is coming from.
You hit the nail on the head. I just Googled it, and you're right. That's exactly what it is. It's everything is social media. So you're competing to show that you did more. And, like, you know, I see balloon pops, cake reveals, smoke bombs, balloon releases, piñatas, water balloon tosses, T-shirt reveals. Yeah, what I mean, it starts off and say additional tips for planning a gender reveal party. Set a budget to help narrow down. Choose a date and time. Send out invitations. Plan food and drinks. Decorate. Have a backup plan in case it's bad weather. Yo, we talking about a gender reveal. It was never that serious when
from the bank. Get a co-signer.
Right. Right. A gender reveal? Like you said, it was just, you called your nosy aunt. Hey, Aunt Erica, we having a boy. Next thing you know, everybody know.
That's it. That's it. You ain't got to do nothing else. You ain't got to do nothing else. But, you know, that's where we at with it right now. It's crazy, man.
It says decorate a party space with balloons, streamers, and decorations and colors of the gender you're hoping for. Oh, my gosh, man. You're right. You're right. It's the internet, man, because everybody, you know something? And I don't know if this is a topic in itself, but I'm going to put it together with this gender reveal thing, because you just said it, and I didn't think about it till you said it. The internet, with all the social media, has given everybody a chance to almost have their own TV show. Even if it's just small scale, it's your own TV show, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or whatever ones they got, X now, as far as Twitter, whatever you want to call it. You know, people have their own set of followers and friends on their little channels. People have their own YouTube channels and the whole nine yards. So everybody wants to be their own show and their own production. And I think you hit the nail. I didn't even put that together until you said that. Everybody's doing their own production. So it's not like for us, it didn't really exist when we were having our kids and we just had our children. Now, this is their production at the same time. So you're 100% right. It's the internet that caused this.
But Roscoe, I'm not going to lie, guilty as charged, because my youngest daughter, who's now 15, when she turned 12, she came to me and said, "Dad, I want to start a YouTube channel." And I'm not going to lie, I was more excited than her. I went out and got the damn camera stands, I got the GoPros, I got the whole shit, the background, the setup in the room, and you fall into it. You know, you fall into it. And of course, it only ran for a couple weeks, and then she was bored with it. And, you know, of course, she wasted my money, as all my kids and my wife continuously do all the time, as expected. But, you know, it was just a waste of money. But you know, it's just one of those things. That's what the kids are doing now. That's what people are doing now. Everybody wants to document their life, or document what they want to be their life displayed to others. So, yeah.
And they hope that everybody gravitates towards so they can also make some money while they do it. My youngest son did the same thing. He had a little channel, him and my nephew, and they were playing video games. They had a few followers, but that kind of died down a little bit with them too. They lost interest when they realized they were doing it for a while, and they had a few followers. I think they never got past 100, but they didn't make any money. So at the end of the day, they start to slow down with it.
Right. So the same for us. But right. Yeah, man, that's what it is, man. Hey, you know, I wanted to touch one more thing. I know we don't have a whole lot of time on here, and we jumping back into it, we don't want to bombard the people with a whole lot of stuff. And I think we were just pretty much freestyling this one. But your boy Biz Markie, man, you know, had a documentary come out. I don't know if you heard of it. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, so Biz Markie had a documentary come out, and it was called, let me pull this out, because I just watched it last night. That just goes to show you how old I am.
All Up in the Biz, it's called.
All Up in the Biz. And
it's 11/23. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie, man. Watching that was pretty damn emotional, believe it or not. Because, I encourage you to watch. And you and I have the same taste and stuff, man. And when you'll watch it, you'll understand exactly what I was talking about as far as the emotional roller coaster. Because it showed you a whole lot of things about this brother that a lot of people, regular people, didn't really know. And number one, his contribution to music. Had no idea how much he actually gave to hip hop.
One of the first rappers to come to in hip hop to incorporate humor and parody in his music.
Yep. And he also helped Eric B. and Rakim get out there. De La Soul. Big Daddy Kane, you know, everybody knew that. Big Daddy Kane. He was responsible for getting Big Daddy Kane out.
I know he's good friends with Big Daddy Kane and Shantae and all them.
Well, he got Big Daddy Kane out. He brought Big Daddy Kane out. He was part of the original Juice Crew. There was a lot of history there with him. And that was cool to see, and to see how underrated he was, because he was actually really a good rapper, even though he made a lot of funny raps. But he was actually really a good rapper, and he was a real good dude. But what made it even more touching for me was to just see his life, man. And they took it from the beginning to the end of his life, you know, to when he passed away. And he was battling diabetes.
Right.
You know, which ultimately, that's what took his life.
Wow.
And it made me, I'm not going to lie, you know, we all get to this state of, you know, we all say, we're going to do better, I'm going to do better, I'm going to do better, I'm going to do, I'm guilty of it, guilty as charged, you know. Me, myself, I've dealt with diabetes. I kind of beat it a little bit at one point in time through weight loss. But then I also, weight loss and weight loss surgery, and then I also wind up going backwards and to where I'm at now, pre-diabetic. So, not knowing the whole story with Biz Markie when he was going through what he was going through, because I don't know if you remember, but when he was hospitalized, it wasn't really, you know, put out there like that. You know, it was kind of like, he's in the hospital, complication, you know, not even complications, but he's in the hospital, whatever. And then it was just away with it, because he wasn't some big A-lister, you know? Right. But then when he died, you know, it was kind of like, dang, well, what happened? So they didn't really put a whole lot of stuff out. But in this documentary, his wife put out exactly what happened, you know, with him, the diabetes, and how he went to a diabetic coma, and he was in the hospital fighting for his life for a whole year, right here at the University of Maryland, downtown Baltimore. And, you know, it really resonated with me, man, you know, and going through all of that while COVID was going on, so he couldn't really have visitors. He had his wife there every day, though. But it just really resonated, man. And it was a very, very, very touching documentary, you know? And I encourage it, man. People that are into hip-hop, into, you know, into how it all began and all of that stuff, and to really watch it, because you learned a lot of cool stuff in there. And if you were a true Biz Markie fan, a lot of these things you may have already known. I can't say I was really a true Biz Markie fan. I liked his music. I love the Juice Crew, but I was a hip hop fan, period. So I didn't really have any all time favorites at that time. I loved everyone. But right. just the fact of watching this documentary, man, it really brought a lot of things to light, man. And it was very emotional. I encourage everybody to check it out. And then, like you said, it's called All Up in the Biz, right?
Yeah, All Up in the Biz. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to try to check it out tonight. My wife will let me. I'm going to try to check it out tonight. Definitely going to try to check it out tonight. Hold on, quick question then.
Yes,
what
sir.
What did the guy from De La Soul die from? Was it the same thing?
I want to believe it was. Let's look that up real quick. I want to believe it was. Either that or heart congestion or something like that. Let me see.
I forgot what. I hate to say that, and that's kind of sad. You know, you like to try to remember these things. I forgot what he died from. I remember the great, everybody came together and they were performing and everything when he passed.
That was hot.
Yeah, it was. It was great. It was great to see all the old guys get back together. You even had your boy in the house, Dave Chappelle and everything. And it was just good to see everybody performing and come together. But
I feel like Dave Chappelle feel like he should have been a rapper in a previous life, because wherever the rappers are, that's where he's at. I just
I don't blame him. I mean, if I just had gobs of good, fame, a little bit of fortune, and I could just kind of be around who I want to be around, I'd probably kick it with some rappers too. A few of them. the classical rappers like he does, you know, Mos Def and these type of guys, Talib Kweli. You know, I would kick it with these type of guys too. I would, they probably cool. They seem cool dudes. They rap cool. They positive. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's probably not some bad. And they seem intelligent. They know what's going on in the world. Got their finger on the pulse of the culture. Yeah. I would kick it around them too if I could, had the ability to do so.
Real shit. I'm looking now. Don't really say too much of why.
I'm looking for it too. I can't find out how he died at all. Maybe they never said how he died. Now I think about it. Maybe that's why I don't know. They just said he passed. I'm trying to find it, and I'm not finding out how he died.
Let me see. Yeah, because I'm actually reading his Wikipedia, and it doesn't say. Well, illness and death.
True. It's not cold. Congestive heart failure. I found it. Congestive heart failure.
Okay, because on Wikipedia it says the cause of his death remaining undisclosed. So
yeah, I asked my AI friend Bard, True Boy the Dove, on February 12, 2023, at the age of 54, he had been diagnosed with congestive heart failure in 2022. So maybe that doesn't necessarily mean he died from that, but he was diagnosed with that, the year before. So it just. I don't. That doesn't necessarily mean he died of that, but for them not to say, I guess they would lead you that direction.
Right. Well, this is definitely for another show. It just goes to show you guys that food is killing the black people. It's killing our race.
Oh, probably everybody. A little bit of everybody. A little bit of everybody. Definitely, man. We. Oh my God. That's definitely a show for another day. This unhealthy diet lifestyle. Nobody makes natural food anymore, man. We all just buy stuff. Delivery? Oh man, you can get anything delivered nowadays.
Yeah. From Jamaican to Korean to freaking Yiddish. Don't even matter now, man.
Anything. I know this is real weird. My son had surgery. Remember he had his surgery for his leg. That was not that long ago. And when he came out of anesthesia, he said, "We wanna get some to eat on the way home?" He said, "Yeah, I want some beef Wellington." Out of nowhere, we like beef Wellington. we couldn't find that nowhere, man. Couldn't find beef Wellington. I don't think I've ever had it. Couldn't find it anywhere. My son's a chef, my oldest son. He was like, said, "Yeah, you gotta go to a French restaurant for that."
Yeah. He definitely was having one hell of a dream.
Yeah, exactly. Like beef Wellington.
Benson, will you please fetch me some beef Wellington?
we live pretty good. We live that good, play. We don't live
Listen,
that.
I don't even know. What is beef Wellington? I don't even. I've heard of it. I don't believe I've ever seen it.
I can't point it out in the lineup. let you do that right now. If you just listen to a bunch of dishes, unless all the other ones are vegetarian, I couldn't point it out.
Oh, that's horrible, man. No clue.
Hey, well, it's been good to do, man. We ain't done a show in a while. We're going to try to get back to doing it more regularly. We'll probably get on some more, like we were before, a little more organized and have our different topics. But we just want to jump in, get our feet wet, you know, start getting, you know, and just get some content out there. But, you know, it's been fun, man. It's good to do.
Absolutely, man. It's therapeutic. And you know, I want to personally say this. I want to thank you to all the people that, through our inconsistencies and ups and downs, that have continued to follow us and throwing that notification and listen every time we did get back on here and, you know, do some stuff out there and continue to listen and continue to support. So definitely want to thank you guys. Also, too, still encourage you guys to reach out to us, man. If you got any topics that you want us to talk about, man, you know, we're always looking for topics. And, you know, definitely. I'll tell you one topic that I want to touch on, Roscoe, at some point, maybe the next show or next couple shows down the line, is the new AI trend.
Oh, my God. That's near and dear to my heart. That's part of my life. My wife calls that my friend, man. That's part of my life right now.
All I'm going to say to you is, you and I have been friends for a very long time, and I look at all of this technology, even though I use it to the fullest. I use every little piece of technology that comes out. I've used the AI system and everything. But it's one step closer to, you know what I'm about to say.
Take over.
Listen. They're waiting.
That might be the next step.
I'm definitely down with that.
All right, we're going to make that. We definitely make that happen. But once again, it's been a pleasure, everybody, to get back to this. Let us know how you feel about, you know, just hearing us again. And we're going to make it happen. We're going to start doing this more regularly.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate y'all. Most definitely.
Well, as always, until next time, it's your boy Roscoe Squeeze Off with
Rich Black, man. Peace.